You may have played poker, but playing poker in Texas is a different animal. This is the Texas Poker Podcast with Tyler and Clint.
Hello, this is the Texas Poker Podcast. I'm Tyler. This is Clint.
What's up, y'all?
And we're back after just a gigantic hiatus.
Yeah, a gigantic hiatus. We went forever and a day without missing a week, and now it was like almost a month we were gone for. I'm sure a lot of people just thought the podcast was probably over at that point, but we were here.
Oh, yeah, poker cockroaches, apparently. I mean, what ended up happening was I ended up moving, and all the podcast stuff was in my apartment, so it was all boxed up, but now we're back and reset up.
Yeah, you moving, that's pretty much it. I'd say, like I say, poker's been kind of hit and miss with me as well. So even if we had it, like, I'm not sure it would have been the best content because we both kind of, we played like a session or two, but not much in this last month.
Yeah, a lot going on with the move, but nice to be set up again and recording, so.
Yeah, absolutely. We are back. Podcast is still along and chugging. And we got some interesting stuff. So any of the longtime listeners know that me and Tyler used to refer to one of the games as a private game, and actually was one of the games that got me out of a downswing. Like, it was in that 2 to 3 month downswing and basically came back and just saved it all because it was such a great game. And then it got canceled probably maybe 8 months ago.
I think so. About 8 months. Yeah.
That seemed about right. Thought it was never coming back, and that game is back and going, and one of the best 1-2 games I've ever played in. And I mean, as someone who's playing now, dabbling in 5-5-10, I'll tell you what, that 1-2 game, still super profitable.
Oh, I mean, like they always say, depending on the stakes, don't necessarily matter as much as the players and how much money they have.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So it was really, that's been my big poker news, is that's actually come back, so I'm really enjoying that. And like I say, it's kind of, did play 2 sessions of that. The first session did not really do, I won, but it was like $40. It was kind of just like card dead the entire time.
And, but you also get the free food and drinks.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, it's one, This was one of the few ones that I do play that is a rake game. So, yeah, you got free food, free drinks, and $40, so not the worst. I played in it last Friday, and some of the players were back that always enjoyed playing with, and, I mean, ended up winning. I mean, winning, it was in, I only bought in for $200. I was starting out, and I didn't see anybody with, like, big stacks, so I didn't want to come off as someone who's just trying to bully the table. So I was bought in with $200 with the intent to just add on. Bought in for $200, never added on, and ended up cashing out for $16.
Jeez, $16 is nice.
So that was a pretty big nice win. I did have one hand I was pretty happy with. I raise king-queen from pretty early position. King-queen offsuit. It's called, the entire table calls. Nobody's folding any hands. I think I raised it to like 20. Goes back around, and the button makes it 60. This is usually a fold for me. I don't usually play king-queen offsuit to 3-bets, but this table's just a different world. People are gambling. I make the call. The entire table makes the call.
God, dog. We're really hoping for 2 kings on this flop.
Really hoping for 2 kings. The flop comes ace-queen-7. I check and flow as I would in all deals. And, I mean, I'm not loving this flop by any means. It checks all the way to the pre-flop better on the button, who then checks. So, thinking that he probably doesn't have too much here. The turn was kind of a nothing card. It's like a 3. I still check because I'm in the earliest position. So all the other players, if they were checking in flow, which not everybody plays kind of like correct poker, but anyone who was would still be checking their ace. Checks all the way to the button, who's a preflop raiser, and he bets, I think, he bets like 100. I make the call. Once he checks that flop, I don't know how many aces he has. I don't know why you would ever check that flop, and with that many people, with so many two pairs being available, like kind of random two pairs being able to hit and all that. And I do have middle pair, best kicker. I call, nobody else calls. The river comes like another low card. I check, and he bets 375. I want to make sure the pot. I would say when I spread the, I had him spread the pot because I kind of lost the amount of what it was, but it ended up being just under pot. So I'm like getting 1 to 3. I didn't love it because I'm like, well, some people just show up with hands you don't think they'll have all the time.
Especially in these private games.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like these loose, crazy private games. I mean, any two pair is available. I mean, any random ace rack is available, but...
Yeah, so... But I did think, I was like, well, I've got queen with the best kicker. And most aces would be betting the flop. End up making the call. And he turned a backdoor flush draw and decided to bet it. And then bet when it broke the river. So, ended up winning a pretty gigantic pot off a middle pair in a multi-way pot. It's pretty happy with that.
Yeah, that's a very nice call.
So, I was pretty thrilled with that. But that led to a really good win over there. So, happy that this game that was very profitable for, it started off on a good note again.
Yeah, I'd definitely rather be on a good note than a bad one, for sure.
So, we'll see how much I end up playing over there, but like I say, I've always enjoyed that one. And then me and you go to...
Is the game a Thursday or a Friday game? Because I remember you said it on a Friday, but I thought they had a Thursday and a Friday game. Are they bringing two back, or are they doing tournaments, or is it all just private random games?
Well, I don't think it'll ever be a tournament, but they are deciding if it's going to be Thursday or Friday. I have a feeling it might eventually be both days. But right now they're trying to decide if they can get which game they can get better with more people playing, because there's a lot of, it's very rec heavy, so there's a lot of people, but you know, there's two or three that buy in pretty deep that kind of make that game, but there's a lot of people, you know, it's a 1-2 game also buying in for like 100, so it's kind of this weird dynamic where you have a ton of people buying in super deep, and then some people just like completely buying in for the minimum almost. So it's kind of making the game. If anybody ever wants to play in this game and you live in the Houston area, you can shoot Tyler a message, and I can see if they're always looking for people. So, and we can always try to get you in this game.
Or if you're looking for Clint's phone number, I wrote it on the stall in Champion's bathroom. So it's right there on that, in that stall.
Okay. But I don't do what he says that I do in that bathroom. That number, I mean, I know Tyler, it's probably correct. But the message he wrote it with, probably not.
So, that's funny. But, all right. So then I guess we also just came off of a session today from Champions. Did you have any more from that session? I don't want to cut you off early.
I didn't really take that good of notes. I just remembered that hand because it was pretty memorable.
Very memorable hand.
But yeah, outside of just, you know, it being a good session, that was pretty much it for that one. So we can definitely jump to our one we just did over at Champions.
All right, so let's start off with this one. So we go to Champions, and there's only one open seat at the 1-2 and one at the 1-2. So right. I end up going to the 1-2 game, and you go to the 1-3 game. Let me pull up my note for you. My first hand that I played. All right, here we go. So I have King 10 of clubs. It's straddled, and I'm first to open. I make it 15. Oh, sorry, I'm not first to open. There's three limpers, but it's a $4 straddle. I make it 15. Two people call.
Kind of made it kind of light for straddle and a couple calls, right?
Yeah, firsthand. Still kind of getting used to.
Okay.
Well, and here's the other thing, too, is the max buy-in is 200. We're kind of shallow at this point still. The game got pretty deep, but when I first got there, there was a lot of $100 stacks and kind of 150-ish kind of stacks.
Okay.
So I thought I didn't want to go too crazy because, you know, I don't want to pot commit somebody whenever, you know, so early.
That's true.
So I get two calls. The flop comes 5 of hearts, 6 of diamonds, 10 of spades. And I have king, 10 of clubs.
Okay. So you flop top pair here.
Mm-hmm. The first guy checks. The next guy donks 15 into me. I just bet 15. He bets 15.
I could make an argument for betting or raising. For either calling or raising here. What did you end up doing?
I raised. I made it 40. The other guy folds and he jams for, I think, like 60 total. So obviously.
Oh, I love your raise now that I realize how short he was.
Yep.
Yeah.
He has 7-8 offsuit. He is open-ended, brick. I win.
Yeah. And for any listeners who are wondering why you would kind of raise this medium strength hand here, when people donk lead, they usually do not donk lead with strong hands. You're looking to kind of check raise with your sets, your two pairs, and stuff like that. Stuff like this is where usually it's like a weak 10 that wants protection. Maybe a weak 6 or like a draw. So that's kind of the reasoning we say this.
This is definitely not probably the best poker strategy you're going to hear, obviously. But do you ever like to raise when someone like same bets you there just so you can kind of keep the betting lead as well on future streets in the game, like hands in the game to kind of discourage people donking into you like that? Because I would do that a lot when I was playing a lot. If someone would donk into me like that, I would be raising a ton of the time just so I could, in future hands, he checked to me to kind of get a free card. That was my strategy to it. So a lot of times if I bet 15 and you donk 15, I'm going to repop it a lot of the time.
I don't really care if they donk into me. It's such a really kind of – it's in general, there are definitely times you can donk lead. But in general, it's a pretty bad strategy. Anytime that someone's using a bad strategy against me, I'm not really doing anything to discourage it. Like, I will raise, but it's just like you did. Like, you were raising because you could raise for value and get there. Or I can call. Or, like, I can fold a lot. Because a lot of times when they donk lead, they have something. Well, guess what? If I had ace-king, ace-queen, I'm c-betting there a lot. And now you've just saved me some money. So I don't really do it for that reason. It's usually based on my hand and what I think they're representing.
Yeah, so I thought that was an interesting hand.
That's I like how you played that a lot, especially after seeing how short stack he was. I think that was a really good move.
Then I kind of card dead. I got a few kind of good bluffs off that kind of worked out for me. And then, as odd as this is going to sound, I run into a listener of the podcast at the table.
Not that audit champion. Like, a lot of people at Champions have mentioned it to me. But it's always cool. I mean, I'm always glad to hear, like, people listening.
Yeah, so here you go. So the story continues.
Okay.
So the guy who I just busted out with that hand, so the guy who listened to the podcast, he had, like, kind of talked about the podcast. I was like, I'll play this hand with him, sure. He made it, like, $10. I was in the blind. I had 5-3 offsuit. The guy who I just stacked calls as well. I call for fun. The flop comes king 5, like 10 or something. I don't know. I flop bottom pair. I said, this is delightful. So I bet like 20 or something.
You lead out into him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
He folds. The other guy then jams on me. This is so sad. But he had only jammed for like $38, so it's $18 more.
So, I mean, you just basically got pot odds to...
Yeah, so I called, turn a brick, river a 5. So then I won that hand. So then that guy rebuys. And then the very next hand, I get 5-3 offsuit again. So I said, the 5-3 is hot, baby. So I play it again. So end up, basically, I'll just give you the moral of the story. The guy who I just stacked turned a straight. I river a four card flush to stack him again. And just have a swell time playing the 5-3 offsuit.
And he was a listener of the podcast?
No. The listener of the podcast is, the listener of the podcast is who initiated all this.
Oh, okay.
I played the 5-3 to play a hand with him. Just kind of bored him. And then that guy is kind of collateral damage in this whole thing. And then I got the next shuffle. So I said, I'll play it again. And won again.
I was like, now he's an ex-listener of the podcast. Because Tyler keeps playing dipshit hands and sucking out on him.
And this one was kind of interesting, too. So now we're kind of just rolling along. I'm up some, down some, up some. I got bluffed out of my shoes, which made me sad. Let me think.
Luckily, I mean, if it is a good play, this is like the classic Ben Deitch right here. If anybody ever watches Ben Deitch's vlogs, if we make a good play, details, pot odds, what happened on the flop, the turn, the river, what size the pot is, and everything. But if we get bluffed or we lose, Tyler's like, got bluffed out of the river. Got bluffed. I was sad. Yeah. It's the analysis.
Well, okay, I had Jack 10 suited. I ended up raising early preflop, get called like three ways.
I thought you got three bet.
No, I got three bet. Yeah. So I make it 10. I get three bet. So, Jesus Christ, we missed 1 month of podcasting. I can't even tell you a story of the hands. Okay, well, I guess we're going to do it. I bet 10. Guy calls. Guy three bets me to 30. I call. Guy who called the 10 calls a 30. The flop comes 7. Basically, you could have flopped a straight with 6-7, so let's call it 8.
5-4.
5-4, yeah. Okay, so then, and I have a backdoor flush draw. I check the guy who called behind, he bets 30.
So not the pre-flop 3-better, the correct. Other guy.
The pre-flop 3-better folds. I've seen this guy play a few hands, I think. This kind of smells very bluffy to me. I call thinking I'm going to blast the turn when he checks. Okay. If check two. The turn is a jack of spades. Now top pair. I check thinking, I'm probably good here. I thought he was bluffing. Now I definitely think I'm ahead. He then jams all in for like 165.
Big bet for this pot, right?
Big bet, yeah.
So, because, I mean, it was... Oh, well, it was the three bet was 30, right?
Yep, so there's 90 30,
pre-flop. 30, 60, 90. 120, 150. I guess it's like a pot. It's over a little over a pot size bet.
Yeah. And I hem and haw, and I think this should be a call, but I got scared and folded. And I pay him to see his hand, and I got bluffed.
I mean, I don't know. I still don't have a problem with this fold, though, because with you raising, him being a caller, it sounds like he's playing any random two cards here.
Yeah.
And then calling the three bet. He could have a straight here. He could have random two pairs here. I mean, sets make a ton of sense. And a lot of stuff, like an 8 would have checked to a jack. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's very... I don't think this is a bad fold. I think it's just in this one instance, it was a... He was bluffing. But honestly, don't think this is a bad fold looking at it.
Yeah, well, it was just sad because, like, I was pretty sure he was bluffing. And then he bet and I got scared and folded. And then he shows that he's bluffing. As I'm like, wow.
Yeah, I mean, it was a read you made and then kind of went back. But, I mean, here's the thing is, your reads should change with added information.
Yeah, they should. If they didn't, I would have won. But then basically, like, two hands later, I then get donkey and just start calling random cards because I'm tilted and lose about $8. So then then I end up playing the next hand where I have Jack 10 offsuit. I raise under the gun, tilted, get four callers, about 40 in the no 50 in the pot counting me. Flop comes Jack 10 10.
That's a nice flop.
Or Jack Jack 10, something like that. Yeah. Full house.
Flop a full house. That's a nice.
I mean, yeah. So with a flush draw on board. I check, checks around. I'm sad. The turn is a three of clubs.
Did you ever think of, like, I think this is a flop a lot of times I bet super small on. Did you ever think of, like, betting super small?
I thought about it, but I was still so stunned that I had a what was hopefully going to be a winning hand.
I mean, I will say, kind of, I'm not sure what I'm hoping to get called by either. It was just something I know I might do sometimes. I was just curious if it crossed your mind.
Turn was a three. I check, thinking, obviously it's check. I mean, not obviously checking through, but hopefully someone's catching something. Guy bets 20. Guy behind him calls. I call. Other guy folds. Now we're three ways to the river. It is a random seven. I then
eight. Someone having 8-9 would be great.
I bet 70. Get called pretty quick. Then the guy behind folds. I show my hand. I win. That was a pretty big hand for me.
A lot of decision points. Like on the turn, did you think about raising?
Thought about it, but I mean, it's never great when someone's, whenever he bets, he's like, I'm going to see you slow playing.
Yeah, I mean.
It's literally so obvious that he, like, it was even announced ahead of time.
Yeah, that's, I mean, you're right. It is very, yeah, it's kind of tough to not have a gigantic hand when you do that. So that is a good point.
Here's an interesting hand for you.
Okay.
Here's a real interesting hand. So, I'm on my phone texting. I text my girlfriend. I'm going to try to win $5 this hand. I'm about to leave. I'm going to call you in a second. I'm going to try to see if I can't win a hand on this last shuffle. I get dealt queen deuce suited. Not the worst. I mean, as the hand to go out on, I was like, sure. This is my $5 hand right here.
Okay.
Let's see. So we end up, I think somehow it ends up being like three people, about $30 in the pot. So now I have to win 15. But so now flop comes seven deuce deuce with two diamonds.
It's a good flop when you're holding queen deuce.
Yeah. I check. Other guy checks. The guy in on the button bets 20. What are you doing here?
I raise.
I raise as well. But I raise tiny. I make it 45.
Ooh, I kind of like that.
Other guy folds. He jams for like 200.
Oh, man. And then you call.
Yeah, I call. And he had the nut flush draw. Turned an ace. Bricked out the diamonds though, so
yeah, I love your raise here, because here I think you should always raise, because you actually have way more bluffs than you do made hands here. I mean, your made hands are pocket sevens and a deuce, so I mean,
which I never have a deuce unless I'm texting on my phone that I'm gonna, I mean, just so random. I mean, they would always fold ahead of time.
Yeah. So if you're raising a ton of your draw, I mean, you have way more draws here than, I mean, there's not even that many draws, but I mean, at least you have way more draws than you do like pocket sevens and a deuce. I mean, so yeah, I love your raise here. I think if you call here, you're just way too unbalanced. And like you say, you need to get value from what is most likely diamonds, and a seven, I don't think can fold here very easily.
My last somewhat interesting hand. So you and I talked about this on the way to record the podcast. For some reason, I just thought that like shorthanded, we're like five or six handed, that like playing suited kings, like on the button, like king six suited or whatever, I never thought was good, but I like done, we had like looked at some study, like obviously not correct study, I'm misrecalling, because like you said, you can open it but not call it.
Right.
But we were shorthanded. I did call it a $10 bet from the button, heads up.
Okay.
With king six suited, thinking, not the worst, probably going to end up folding, but whatever.
Okay.
Flop comes king 3-6, two hearts.
Good flop for king six.
Yep. Guy bets 20. I make it 40. He goes all in for like 180.
Well, I'm shocked you raised here.
Sometimes you gotta.
Yeah, that was a. Was there a?
There was flush a flush draw. Yes.
Okay, and he was the preflop raiser.
Yes.
Okay, I like it a little bit more now. Like now that I know that you actually have some draws that you could be raising here, with him having kind of the range advantage here, a lot of times I would just call and then look to raise turn. But you're right. Like if there's a lot of things that's good, there's a lot of cards that could make this difficult. Actually,
mm-hmm. He jams. I call. He has pocket aces. Aces get cracked. End up. Profiting like just under $800 on the session, like $760 something.
That's really nice.
It was super nice. Super nice to. I felt like I played some hands well, got super lucky in some hands that I shouldn't even played, and and got bluffed one hand, which made me sad. But other than that, I mean, basically the moral of the story right there.
Well, that's good.
Ooh, I have one hand for you, which is kind of a nothing hand. Like it ends up being a nothing hand, but thank God.
Okay.
Man, I'm just all sorts of this Jack 10 stuff. I have Jack 10 again. I open Jack 10. Get 3 bet immediately, but tiny. Someone calls, someone else calls. I just said, you know what? I'm just done. I don't care anymore. I fold. And the flop comes 9-10 Jack.
Ooh.
Yeah. One guy had pocket kings, the other guy had the bottom end of the straight.
Good fold pre-flop.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes those hands are just the most important. They're the ones that you just got out of the way before a train wreck happened.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's super tempting. Like, it wasn't a big 3-bet, but I was like, I'm just on such thin ice nowadays. I'm out.
I mean, I definitely love that fold. I mean, I know you can get kind of crazy with it pre-flop. Glad to see you make that fold there.
Yeah, me too. I mean, in the run out was a queen, so the king ended up chopping one of the pots.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
God dang. It's, like you say, me and Tyler run into, we go into champions. Tyler ends up at the 1-2 table. I end up going to the 1-3 table. Table is gambly, but also tough.
Your table definitely looked tough. My table was fun and everyone's having a good time. I mean, someone literally spilled wine on the table. But
it was not playing tight, mostly from like one or two players there. But the guy to my left is a pro around Houston. The guy to his left was from out of town, but seemed to be a fairly solid player. One of the other guys at the other end, I don't know if he's a pro, but he's definitely a winning player. So everyone's kind of loose aggressive on this table. There's a straddle to 6 and then 2 call. I have pocket 10s. I make it 30. I probably could make it bigger here. But
was it 6 and how many callers?
2.
I don't know, 30, 35. I mean, yeah, it's fine, right? Nothing crazy. I mean, depending on how deep you are, I mean, if we're super deep, I'm making it 50. But, I mean, depending, like, you very much have to kind of gauge the temperature of the table. Like, if you're going to get called there or if, like, so, depending on how deep you are, if I'm, like, 2,000, I may make it 50 there. But depending on how deep you are, I like the 30, 35. I mean, it seems fine.
4 call.
I like bigger. You should have gone bigger for sure, actually.
The flop is 9-6 deuce with 2 spades.
Definitely betting. I mean,
pretty a great flop for what I have. I mean, nobody 3-bet, so all the bigger overpairs are not going to be there. I love this flop. There's no straights, no flushes yet, and 2 pair of 9-6 would be very weird. It checks to me. I bet 90, which would be about 2/3 pot about. So I get re-raised to 300.
This is weird.
Folds to me. What do you think of this spot?
No flush draws, which, like we always say, we always grasp at that like it matters. I don't know. I think it's a fold. I mean, I don't know. Seems like when you're getting re-popped on a dry flop, that is not ever an awesome spot. Because what could he have that we're ahead of?
I think this player sometimes 3-bets nines. So he's got, I think, set of sixes, set of deuces. So I'm kind of counted up, and I'm like, well, he doesn't have overpairs ever.
Yeah.
He doesn't have it's unlikely he has nines. Maybe sometimes has nines. He could have set of sixes, set of deuces, but there's way more flush draws and 7-8. I end up jamming on top of him.
That's dicey.
He calls. He has 9-3 of spades.
So what was the flop?
9-6 deuce, 2 spades.
So he has a combo draw?
Yeah, he has a top pair with a flush draw.
And 2 pair out, yeah.
But... yeah, which he hit, the 2 pair. Oh, that, that 3 came right on the turn. So
God, if that board would have paired.
Oh, man, if a deuce would have came on that river, it would have been so nice.
I was like, a deuce did come. I folded face down. No.
It's a so I make a correct call, but end up losing, and that was sad because that was 3 hands in for my entire buy-in of 600.
Yeah, I was so confused because I knew you just got chips and sat down, and then I saw you right back at the cage. I figured maybe you forgot something.
No, didn't forget. I took them.
I guess actually, based on your face, I knew bad things had happened to you. So.
Things weren't great for me.
Yeah.
So another straddle to 6. There's no limpers or anything. It's a, I think it both a small blind and big blind fold. I make it 20 with pocket aces.
Okay.
I
mean, I think you could exploitatively be betting bigger just in general at this game, but 20 seems, at least you'll get action.
Yeah, I got so much action. 4 call. I probably should be betting bigger here. It's a, yeah, exploitatively should be betting bigger. The flop is King 8-9, I believe, with 2 hearts.
It is weird, though, that like everything, completely jump topics on it, like everything we study, like talks about like the opening sizes. But I do think we both kind of agree that in Texas, when everyone's overcalling so much, so wide, that you can exploitatively bet bigger or open bigger.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah, just in general, just kind of exploitatively bet bigger, raise. I mean, just everything you can kind of just do bigger.
Well, Bart Hansen has the best way of looking at it, I think. And his idea is to bet as big as like the lesser hands will call.
Yeah, but that's kind of the best thing, is that like lesser hands will call so much money.
Yeah, exactly. So,
because it seems weird for me to be telling you that you need to be betting, like, opening bigger, but if you play in the games, you definitely understand that, like, if you call 20, you're probably still getting action at 30, 35.
I mean, the only problem with players in this game, is if I'm 3-betting, if I'm betting raising kind of big pre-flop, then the 3-bets...
oh, it's so sad. It's so sad.
Because let's say I'm betting with 7-8 suited. I mean, I'm not going to fluctuate my bets. If I'm going to bet bigger, I'm going to bet with all my hands.
100%.
So let's say instead of opening raise of 15, I go to 25. Well, then those 3-bets, instead of, you know, 45 or 50, those 3-bets are now 75 or 80. I tell you what, I can kind of call with a 3-bet with 7-8 when it's 45. Once it gets to 70 or 80, I really can't be calling that.
You could be jamming like a real man.
Well, I'm not trying to be a real man. I'm trying to be a real profitable poker player.
Yeah.
I'll leave the ballsiness to somewhere else. I'm just looking to make a profit. But...
well, where we left off, you're minus 600, so continue.
Yeah, well, I didn't say I was doing a good job of it. Pocket aces. The flop is King 8-9 with 2 hearts. This is a flop I feel like is kind of rough for me.
Well, so multi-way it's rough.
Yeah. Obviously, there are a set of 8s. There's a set of 9s. There's a the random king 8, king 9. There's a lot of things that can kind of blow me off my hand a little bit. I don't know. Like, I've gone back and forth. I should probably be betting here.
You gone back and forth. You played the hand 2 hours ago.
I mean, I've been thinking about it ever since. I check this because I think it's easier to check call than bet into multi-way and get call a re-raise.
I would be betting here myself, but okay, you check.
A player bets 45 after me. It folds around. I call. The turn is a 10. He bets 115. I end up just folding. It's one of those that I was like, it doesn't seem like this would be a great card if he's just betting a king. Like, it seems like if you're betting a king, you'd want some, you have some showdown value, and this is getting pretty dicey. So at that point, like, queen jack does get there. I mean,
that's a gutter, but I mean, it seems like two pairs way more in the realm of possibility.
Yeah, like 8-10, 9-10. Well, I don't know that he bets that either. I don't know. Like I say, this is, but I mean, this is just kind of a weird spot I put myself in at this point.
Yeah, because if you bet and get raised, I think you could probably fold on the flop, right?
Probably so. But here's the problem is, okay, let's say I make this call. This is kind of a dicey turn. I mean, am I prepared to call a big river bet? Because a player is definitely capable of either value betting for river or bluffing river.
I mean, he could have just been on the flush draw, like you said, and just... You said there was a flush draw, right?
Believe there was, yes.
Maybe a very standard play to do with a missed flush draw or, if you river the flush.
100%.
That's what makes it so tough.
Yeah, I mean, it was just kind of a tough hand.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it's one of those spots that's so close that, like...
There's probably not a huge amount of EV, give or take.
Yeah, like, I think I would... I know I would have played it differently, but I don't know how it would have panned out, but... I think it's okay. I mean, it's fine, right? I mean, it seems always weird to fold aces, but...
Looking more, I think I probably should be betting flop there. I think it's... I don't think it's so connected that I can't bet flop. I mean, it's, I think... King 8-9 is very different than like 6-8-9 or 7-8-9 or 8-9-10 or something like that. I think having it back, I would much rather bet flop. It was just it being so multi-way and that kind of being a somewhat dangerous flop. I didn't love it, but I don't think it's a huge mistake to check. But I do. I don't know. One of those. It's a hard flop to play and it's a hard turn to play. Let me see which, so I'm not having a good session. If you can tell, I lost my entire stack three hands ago. I didn't raise with aces to call a flop bet and fold the turn. So this is not going great for me. Player bets 20. I make it 60 with ace 10 of clubs. He's been betting pretty wide. Ace 10 of clubs, I think, is a pretty good three betting hand for the most part. Three call, my three bet. Flop is 4-7-6 with two hearts. I mean, obviously, I'm just not sure. I might not bet this with aces, as I'm already covered. The entire table checks. The turn is an ace. Player bets 200. I call for all in. Because I have less than 200 at this point. Because I suck ass.
Okay.
Yeah. He has jack six of hearts for a pair and a flush draw. River blank and I'm good. So that was that hand. Finally won a hand. So I'm just getting murdered at this table. There is a straddle to six in the small blind calls. In the straddle, if I'm the small blind or big blind, I have just started with I'm limping everything. Basically, kind of just like you do in a small blind a lot of times. I just call in big blind with pocket queens, praying someone.
So I kind of like this strategy. Like, ever since you brought it up, I kind of think this is probably the strategy to be implementing in these Texas Wild games. Just to have that 100% limping range in the small big blind when the button straddles on. I like that a lot, just because so often if everybody limps, that button player is three betting, or raising, not three betting. And then so often if you open, I mean, you're getting three bet. I mean, it just seems like it's so hard to play if you open, but if you limp, I feel like it simplifies things at least for you.
Oh, I think it's been so profitable, I think. Yeah, I completely agree. It's a... Well, when you raise, like you say, you're just getting so many calls and you're playing it so multi-way. And no, it's not like anybody can exploit it because I'm doing it with my entire range. I mean, I'm doing it with aces. I'm doing it with 5-6 suited.
I'm doing it with 2-3 off.
Yeah. Maybe I just start limping everything. I mean, my range is 100%.
That's what you said, 100% limping yeah. range.
So a player makes it 30 and two call. It comes around to the small blind, who also limped. And makes it 170.
Oh, wait, hold on. So everyone, you limp. You're in the big blind. Small blind limps, you limp.
Right.
Then what happens?
A player makes it 30.
Okay, how many calls?
Two calls of 30.
Okay.
Goes around to the small blind, and he now makes it 170.
And what do you have? Pocket queens?
I have pocket queens.
This is just going to be so profitable. Okay.
I jam.
Yeah, again, you have a tiny stack?
530.
Ooh, this is spicy. Okay, I love it. All right.
The three people who are at 30 fold instantly. The small blind tank folds.
Oh, not spicy at all. Okay, I thought we were going to get action. Super awesome.
I kind of liked it.
I'm sure you liked it. But...
I mean, 260, and I didn't even see a flop. I mean,
yeah, no, I'm sure you liked it, but the listeners, we all wanted to hear these queens go.
The listeners are rooting for me, they love it too.
Debatable. I mean, our views were never higher than when you were on a downswing.
I'm always on a downswing. So our views are doing great. So let me see. Player makes it 15 from fairly early position, but he's playing quite a wide range of hands. I make it 45 with ace 4 of clubs. Two calls, one call, and then he calls. Flop is ace 9-6. I bet 50. Both end up calling. The turn is a king.
Kind of a weird size bet. So now are you checking this turn?
I did. They checked to me, and I checked here too.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I don't know what we're hoping for at this point if we bet and get called again, though.
Yeah, well, when I bet and get called two ways, I'm not loving it anymore. I mean,
I didn't know we were even loving it to begin with, but all right.
Yeah, well, at first I liked the ace, but once I get called two ways, now I'm hating my four. I mean, I still love the ace, now I hate the four. The river's a two. Turn king, river two. They both check to me. I'm like, I think I can go for the tiniest bit of value here now.
Oh my God, all right.
Go for super thin value. I bet 80. And what is probably 300 about now? They both fold.
Oh, God. That was going to be so awesome if you would have got value there.
Yeah, I wanted it. Trust me. I mean, very weird. Because what in the hell are they calling me? Like, I don't know. I mean, you're not folding to an ace set. The way this is played, I don't think you're ever folding an ace to me.
I mean,
we shouldn't, because you'd be ahead.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Unless you have exactly ace three, and then you should call. I mean, I don't know. Very kind of a strange hand. I mean, maybe someone had 7-8. I don't know, but it was kind of strange. Another one, I took not really good notes at all, but I have pocket nines, I raise, and flop top set. And... bet, get two people to call the flop, one person to call the turn, and then I size up on the river and he folds. Dang. But ended up, I was down to less than $200 at one point. I was in for $1,200. Was down to less than $200. Ended up cashing out for $14. Dang. So, And it's after time and everything. So it was like $200 profit when I was just getting murdered for the first two to I mean, could not win a hand to save my life the first two hours. So I'm glad to anytime you claw your way back for a profit, you're pretty happy about that.
I have one interesting hand for you real quick before we go.
Okay.
I'm in the big blind and I have a suited king of like, it's either like king, give me a low number.
Four.
King four. Suited. I end up limping, just checking in the big blind.
Okay, I like that.
Flop comes 4-4, like 7 or 9. I bet, it's a super tiny pocket. I went limped, right? So there's like $10 in there. So I bet 10. Goes fold, fold, fold. Then the dealer dumps the deck, starts handing me the pot. I mucked my hand and took the pot. Mm-hmm. Another player had cards still and was trying to call. I told him he's probably saved him money, but the dealer probably saved him money, but kind of a weird spot where I was like, that could have been really weird.
You know, this exact thing happened to me at Empire the other day, too. It's a... I mean, yours, I just take the money and, too bad you hadn't mucked your hand, because it would have been nice to be able to show a four, just since it was kind of a weird situation. I guess you could tell him to listen to the podcast, and he'd know for certain. I raise pre-flop. I squeeze really big pre-flop with ace-queen. Everybody folds around. Same exact thing. The dealer mucks everything, pushes the pot to me, and then a player's like, I was calling. I don't remember if he grabbed his cards or not. No, he didn't, because the player exposed his cards.
What did he have?
He had ace king.
Whew.
So what I did was, once he showed ace king, I decided to just chop whatever was in the pot with him. I thought that was the most fair thing. So it's one thing if, like, he didn't show, because, I mean, people say shit all the time. But I was like, well, he was definitely calling. So I was like, well, the least I can do is, you know, I just kind of got saved by dealer error. So I just kind of chopped the pot. And that way he got at least got his money back.
So you should have chopped the pot with him and the dealer. Give your half to the dealer.
Yeah, no shit. But, yeah, so, yeah, that same thing happened to me as well. But, I mean, yours was different because you were 100% definitely ahead, wishing you got a call.
Yeah, I mean, it was a super tiny pot. Like, so there was like $12 in the pot or $9. It was so tiny. But, you know, still an interesting spot, though.
Yeah, it is kind of an interesting spot. More, if anything, just kind of an awkward spot more than anything.
Yeah, but shoot, I guess on that note, do you have anything? I don't have anything. That seems to...
No, glad to have, we could both go and have a winning session. So that was really nice.
Like I said, I was neutral. I was just happy I won, so...
Yeah, I know you only care about yourself. I hate you.
All right. On that note, this concludes the Texas Poker Podcast. We'll talk to you next week.
That was the Texas Poker Podcast. Go ahead and rack up, add time, and we'll see you next week.